I did.
I
changed in my car.
Yes. Which
is awesome. I was of the Barbie generation, the first Barbies. Okay, what have we got for time? What's Mia's last name? What's Mia's?
I think it's Ami. It's right here. It's
Maya Mackey. Yeah. Okay, I've never seen this before.
Can you just do this?
Lectern?
Yeah, right here.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you're hot.
I'm hot, yes. Good evening, we're going to begin our personnel meeting. Ms. Mackey, would you come up to the podium, please?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Good evening, thank you for being here. Applying for the deck board. Can you tell me the first question? Do you have any personal or financial interest, either direct or indirect, with the DEC, or are you engaged in any capacity whereby a conflict of interest may arise?
I do not.
Thank you. Please give us a brief outline of your educational and work experience and how your background experience will be of benefit in relation to the DEC.
Sure. So most relevant to the DEC would be probably some of my older experience in my career dealing specifically with facility and real estate management, in which case I also dealt with food and beverage, cost accounting, all those nerdy things in the world of finance and property management, including a parking facility. And then I took a tour through governmental accounting and really learned how to understand and interpret statutes and apply them. From there, actually went into a nonprofit briefly, and now am at my current employment, as well as a part business owner with Lake Superior Consulting. And that firm is a engineering design firm that is largely focused in project management. That's one area that I noticed in reading the board minutes that they were really struggling with is, you know, proposal, RFP. Responding and generation. So having that at my fingertips and the ability to rely on those resources could be something that could really help fill a gap at the DEC. In addition to that, a real big focus on legal contract and language where we work. It's a very high-risk industry, and so we have a really amazing employee who works for us that helps educate us on understanding that language and really making sure that that risk and liability is appropriate for an organization, which is another area that seemed like the DEC could use a little bit of support. In addition to that, I've had a board experience with a political organization as well as working with the Zoo Board of Directors. And there, of course, we had a liaison from the City of Duluth as well. So helping understand the intricacies of working with the city, dealing with funds through the tourism tax and other state and federal funds that are funneled through. So getting that relationship and really understanding the role of a board to help provide that oversight for the organization versus maybe getting a little too involved in the actual operations. So it's been a lot of in and outs with the government organizations while still working for private enterprises.
Great, thank you. That was a great answer. Next question, why are you interested in serving on the DEC board?
So I took a little break last year. I had a lot going on and just needed to spend a little time decompressing. And this year I realized that I am really excited to just really dig back into the community because I love it here. Having moved here 20 years ago, I really am excited to see us continue to be that destination city, not just to live and work, but bringing people outside the community to help showcase some of the amazing features that we have. And the DEC is one of those things that I feel like I could still help get them to that self-sustaining level with the experience that I have. You know, they're still not operating in the black. And so helping have someone with financial background, board experience, and the actual relevancy of what they're doing there, I just felt like it was a really a great way for me to use my skills right now.
Okay, thank you. Can you tell me if you have any personal scheduling conflicts that you've either known or that you can see which may prevent you from attending the regular meetings?
No, I have a lot of flexibility with my schedule, being pretty tenured, salaried, and then also part business owner, so it should be easy to take the time I need.
Okay. What do you consider your personal strengths that you could bring to the board?
So funny enough, I did a strengths finder with my team this year, which is fun to just kind of understand why you do the things you do. What really stands out for me is, you know, my ability to really see all of the different interconnected parts and just kind of pull together ideas that maybe make the most sense to move forward with and kind of help get rid of some of the noise that might distract people. Also, really big strategic thinker. So, you know, helping when they're looking through their strategic plan and help them understand whether they're really looking at a strategic plan or just maybe a financial plan, and make sure that those things are actually measurable and they can be held accountable to them as they're going through their, you know, near-term and longer-term goals for the facility.
Okay, thank you. Are you presently serving on any other boards or commissions? You did say you took a little break.
I did take a break, yes. Yep. No, I am not currently on any.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add concerning your possible appointment to the DEC?
I don't think so. Really, I'm just excited to kind of bring just a few more skills to the board and just help them get to that next new them. I know they're going through this. They have outside counsel right now that's trying to help them figure out their new mission and vision. And I'm just excited to kind of help them get across that hurdle and kind of reinvent themselves and be the best attraction that we can for the area.
Okay, counselors, I'm going to open it up for questions. Councillor Owal. No. Councillor Swenson.
Other
still
side.
Have to remember which way is 1 to 8.
Thank you. Thank you for applying, Maya, and for coming in today. I've had the opportunity to work alongside of you in past jobs that I've had, so I really do think that you will bring a lot of value with your accounting background and your attention to detail, I vividly remember. And so my question is, I guess, what do you see as like an opportunity that you would help the DEC overcome? You talked about operating sometimes in the red, but you know, what do you see in that?
So one of the challenges, I think, when the board is meeting regularly is that the information doesn't appear to be perhaps as current as it could be. I'd love to sit down with their director of finance and really understand why there's a several-month delay, because perhaps they have a flash that's a little bit more current, but when you're operating on information that's a couple months stale, you can't really intervene or support that organization if you don't know where they're really at right now. So I'd love to sit down, understand, and I know they've gone through a few different people, and they are improving their forecasting, but really just help them maybe get that a little bit more current, so when the board is meeting, if there is a concern, they can be a little more proactive and say, like, is there another, you know, agency we need to bring in to support you? What is it that we can do to ensure that you're going to remain on target with your targets? A little redundant.
Oh, thank you, Councillor Swenson. Councillor Mayo.
Thank you, Chair Timonic. Thank you, Ms. Mackey. It's been a pleasure serving on other boards with you in the past as well.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate your experience, especially that financial background that you'll be bringing potentially in this role. I just have a question about, you talked about the finances in particular. There mm-hmm. are some other finance experts. I think Mr. Filipovich has a finance and accounting background too. And I asked him the same question. Will you be comfortable if there are discrepancies or things that you see from your lens that maybe need to be changed or adjusted moving forward? Will you be comfortable speaking up and saying that at meetings and making sure that the DEC is headed in the right direction at all times?
Absolutely. I mean, my role is as a director of finance now. I have to. You have mm-hmm. to hold people accountable. I think the biggest thing, though, is understanding whether this is like a one-time variance, permanent, and how does that actually affect the future?
Yep.
So, you know, this year they had a really great positive variance because there wasn't snow, you know, so they were able to save money on facilities. But as you look into the next year, you know, that doesn't mean that you should plan for that, right? So what are you doing with those funds now to plan for potentially a worse winter the next year? So kind of taking it a step further, instead of just saying, oh, great, you had a variance, it's, okay, what are you going to do with that information? How is that going to help you? Or how did that hurt you? And like, what steps can you take to make sure that you're being responsible with public funding?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Councilor Mayo. I do have a follow-up question. Can you tell me, you said that the deck is not operating in the black. Can you tell me the most recent financials that you've looked at?
I did look at the audit report in addition to, yeah, so that's what I was really referring to, is like the annualized audit report. It was about $3.7 million in operational deficit. Not to say they don't have cash flow capable of funding, but operating in the black, sorry, in my vernacular, meaning that their operating activities are actually covering all of their operating costs. So in the operational activities, having a $3.6 million deficit was what I was referring to.
Okay, thank you. And would you just answer that question? What's the most recent financial you've looked at?
April.
Okay, great. Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to tell the council?
No.
Okay, thank you for your interview.
Thank you.
All right, it's 5:15. We're going to go ahead and get started with our agenda session tonight. Welcome, everyone. After agenda, we'll be opening up a council meeting and closing it off for a closed session, so more to come on that. But we'll go ahead and start with item four. We're on personnel with Vice President Timonic.
Thank you, President Randorf. Let me just get to where I'm supposed to be. Resolution 495, confirming the appointment of Grant Prentice to the Seaway Port Authority, and we will continue to hold that tabled.
Do you want to speak any more to that?
We have another interview coming up on Monday.
Awesome. Any questions on item four? Seeing none, we'll move on. We're on finance. Councillor Forsman.
Thank you, President Randorf. Resolution 602, approving a collective bargaining agreement between the City of Duluth and Law Enforcement Labor Services Local 503 for the years 2024 to 2026. And I got a question.
Yes, please.
Mr. Montgomery, just looking for a little extra. I see we've got a couple market adjustments in here, so I was wondering if you could share a little bit more about how this negotiation went and how you arrived at what we have here.
Thank you. Thank you, President Randorf, Councilor Forsman. This was the last of our police bargaining units. This is our smallest. It's a two-person unit. It's our deputy chiefs. And like the other ones, we've had issues, pretty significant issues with our police department and our police forces on retention and hiring. And we are chasing a significant market situation in our law enforcement area across the state. And so we looked and did comparisons across the state for these relative positions, not to put these into lead kind of levels, like top end levels, but they're kind of right in the midpoint now of across the state what these positions might look like. So we felt comfortable that that was an appropriate place to be, so we didn't find ourselves again in a situation where we're having people leaving to head to other, what they perceive as greener pastures.
And just my only follow-up, these are consistent then with the prior ones that we've seen with the market adjustments?
Yes, they are. All three units are within just small order of magnitudes, similar across the overall increases.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Forsman and Mr. Montgomery. Any other questions on item five? Seeing none, we'll move on. We are now on purchasing and licensing. This is Councillor Durwachter. Councillor Owl, will you read those in?
Yes. President Randorf. Item six, resolution 590, resolution authorizing an agreement with Bolton and Menk Incorporated for design and construction support of the Duluth Fiber Expansion Phase 2 for an amount of $57,800. Item 7, Resolution 632, resolution approving an issuance of temporary on-sale liquor license to various licensees.
Thank you so much, Councillor Owl. Any questions on items 6 and 7? I see Councillor Mayo.
Thank you, President Randorf. On item 6, related to the fiber expansion, I know this is an internal project, but I'm wondering, Mr. Montgomery, if you can provide any update. Are we still kind of holding out hope that we could get more funding for a fiber pilot project or expansion project? We had at one point discussed Lincoln Park as that being a pilot area for some of this fiber, but I know that that fund in different ways doesn't really have a lot in it right now, slash I don't know if it still exists.
You are correct. This particular item is an internal city fiber network connecting, you know, library and city hall and public works. We are continuing to look at a broader external, not city run. We don't think the city should be owning a cable network, a fiber network, but we are looking at, we've had inquiries from a number of parties looking at exploring possibilities of further developing Duluth's fiber network. And we are looking at those opportunities as they come along and evaluating where the city might play a role in kickstarting that in some way as where it's appropriate. But we are looking at those options that are kind of presenting themselves to us.
Okay, great. And do you happen to know, does that fund still exist? Because I know some of the Cirrus money went there, and then we used that and reallocated it elsewhere last year. So is it still, do we still have money in that fund?
President Randorph, Councilor Mayo, I'd have to double check the actual fund to see, and I'll get back to you on that.
Thanks.
Thank you, Councilor Mayo. Thank you, Mr. Montgomery. Any final questions on items 6 and 7? Seeing none, we'll move on. We're on planning and economic development. Councilor Neff, you could not be here tonight. Councilor Forsman will read those in.
Thank you, President Randorph. Resolution 594, authorizing funding allocation changes and finalizing the 2024 annual action plan, and authorizing a request for HUD Federal Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, Home Program, and Emergency Solutions Grant Program funds. Resolution 595, authorizing an increase of $2,496 in Community Development Block Grant funds for the 2024 program year. Resolution 596, authorizing a decrease of $80,268.13 fiscal year 2024 Home Investment Partnership Program. Resolution 597, authorizing an increase of $2,696 fiscal year 2024 Emergency Solutions Grant Program. Resolution 598, authorizing amendment to the 2020 Action Plan by removing the Superior View and Pine Grove Project and reprogramming the allocated $60,000 in CDBG to the 2024 CDBG for the One Roof Community Land Trust New Construction Program. Resolution 599, authorizing reprogramming of $10,432.59 of funds from the 2022 Community Development CDBG for the 2024 CDBG for the One Roof Community Land Trust New Construction Program. Resolution 616, authorizing a Fifth Amendment to General Fund Appropriation Bond Master Grant Agreement with the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development for the Duluth Regional Exchange District Project. Resolution 618, authorizing the execution and recordation of a declaration affecting the Medical Entity West Essentia parking ramp being constructed as part of the Regional Exchange District. Resolution 622, authorizing a First Amendment to Development Agreement with St. Mary's Duluth Clinic Health System for the design and construction of public realm private infrastructure retaining walls as part of the Duluth Regional Exchange District to increase the amount from $3,473,578 to $3,576,625.46. And Resolution 623, authorizing a First Amendment to Development Agreement with St. Mary's Duluth Clinic Health System for the design and construction of new bus shelters as part of the Duluth Regional Exchange District to increase the amount from $627,444.51 to $723,374.54.
Thank you so much, Councillor Forsman. We'll open it up to questions on items 8 through 17. First in the queue is Councillor Mayo.
Thank you, President Randorph. Seeing that we have Mr. Provenance in the audience with us, I was wondering if we could get just on items 8 through 13, I believe it is. There's a lot of money moving around with the CDBG and HUD funds, and I understand that there might be some explanation behind that. It doesn't really sound like it is as complicated as maybe it looks by all the resolutions. If you could just provide some context of what that is and kind of how the committee decided on changing those.
Absolutely. Thank you, President Randorph, Councillor Mayo. For the council, just a brief overview of why you're seeing resolutions 594 through 599, I believe, the 6 or the 5. You know, essentially, what happened was our official HUD allocation came in about $70,000 short of our estimates that council approved back in January. So with that, we've had some projects that didn't go through in the past. So what we're doing is we're reprogramming some money. So all the projects that were originally recommended by CD and then eventually approved by council get what we approved them for back in January, so we don't complicate their budgets and provide any more funding gaps. Essentially, HUD refers to changes outside our contingencies as substantial amendments. That's why some of the amendments to the action plans and moving around the three distinct groups but within our HUD funds, the CDBG, the ESG, and the home, are all coming back to you in separate resolutions.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. I appreciate the context and glad to know they're all getting the same amount. And I had another question, but I can wait if there's more.
No, go ahead.
And this might be, I don't know if it's a question for you or Mr. Montgomery, just at, looking at the last couple of resolutions regarding the exchange district amendments and the infrastructure with that. So is this the city reimbursing Essentia and St. Mary's for some of these construction costs for the walls? Is that my understanding, or what's going on with these, I guess?
President Randorf, Councilor Mayo, within the Exchange District, there were several projects laid out, specifically identified, with estimated and budgeted funds set aside. Some projects have come in somewhat under budget, some projects come in over budget, and this all has to do with the financing coming in from the state through the city. The city is managing all of the projects. So what we are able to do amongst all of the different projects, we can sort of move money around where we have under budget performance. We can take the savings from that project and slide it over to areas where we were over budget. And so that's what's happening here. We're reallocating funds within the same bucket of money that's coming from the state through those allocations to the city. And then we're just aligning the funds to balance out as best we can the different projects that we have going through.
Okay.
And then I'll have, if Chad, do you have anything further you want to say about that? Or
President Randorf, Councilor Mayo, no, other than the number, item 14, the amendment with the state for deed is what authorizes us to be able to do that. So okay. We need to amend the agreement with the state in order to take the following actions.
So there's no additional city funds going into it. It's just us using those state funds and kind of moving them around appropriately.
President Randorf, Councilor Mayo, that is correct. It's all within the legislated amount from the state.
Fantastic. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Councilor Mayo. Thank you, Director Ronchetti and Mr. Pervenanzi. Any final questions on 8 through 17? Seeing no one in the queue, we'll move on. We are now on Public Works and Utilities. Councilor Mayo.
Thank you, President Randorf. Item 18, Resolution 586, approving the modification of condensate sewer charge in rate calculation for Duluth Energy Systems. Item 19, Resolution 589, is of support for the CSAH 13 Midway Road Railroad Crossings Planning and Preliminary Engineering Project. Item 20, Resolution 591, is authorizing the application to the Minnesota Public Facilities Authority for a loan from the Drinking Water Revolving Fund for improvements related to the city's High Priority Lead Service Line Replacement Program, PFA Project 1690011-17, as described in the loan application. Item 21, Resolution 617, is accepting a permanent easement for street and utility purposes from the Duluth Economic Development Authority over, under, and across real property in the Lester Park neighborhood for nominal consideration. Item 22, Resolution 619, is authorizing an agreement with LHB Incorporated for engineering services for the lead service replacement project on London Road for an amount not to exceed $126,834. Item 23, Resolution 621, is amending a contract with LHB Incorporated to provide professional engineering services for the Eklund Avenue reconstruction project to increase the amount by $236,907 for a new total of $376,997. And item 24, Resolution 628, is authorizing an amendment to professional service agreement L30965. With KLM Engineering Incorporated for remote operated vehicle evaluations of 14 reservoirs throughout the city, increasing the agreement by $4,500 for a new amount not to exceed $60,000.
Thank you, Councilor Mayo. Any questions, items 18 through 24? Seeing none, we'll move on. We're on Recreation, Libraries, and Authorities. Councilor Owl.
Thank you, President Randorf. Item 25, Resolution 592, resolution approving application for up to $665,000 to the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission and Minnesota Department of Natural Resources to supplement a previously awarded Minnesota Legacy Parks and Trails grant for the Spirit Mountain Recreation Area Renewal Project. Item 26, Resolution 600, resolution authorizing an agreement with SAS and Associates plus Associates for professional design and construction services for Hillside Sport Court Park improvements in an amount not to exceed $57,660. Item 27, Resolution 603, resolution authorizing acceptance of a grant of $50,000 from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Local Climate Action Grant Program to support installation of energy-efficient equipment at city facilities. Item 28, Resolution 615, resolution authorizing a contract with Geograph Industries Incorporated to fabricate and install park signs for the amount of $180,565.
Thank you, Councillor Owl. Any questions, items 25 through 28? Seeing none, we'll move on to our final item. We're on public safety. Councillor Swenson.
Number 29, Ordinance 39, Ordinance repealing Section 34-14 of Chapter 34 of the Duluth City Code related to false soliciting.
Any questions? All right, seeing none, that ends our agenda session tonight. Now we'll be going into a closed